Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone to Trenton White Sports Blog Talk Radio, hosting Buffalo Water Cooler. Love the show, love what I do, and what I wanted to get at really quick here, I'm not even going to thank sponsors, I'm not going to thank anybody, I'm just going to get the show rolling because I sat back and really thought about some things today, and what I didn't understand was I had people emailing me. Out of the blue, most people, I'm sure, weren't fans because people who know me know how I run my show. And I never really understood why people all of a sudden almost turned on me a little bit. I'm not going to say turned on me, kind of questioned my motive, questioned why I'm doing certain things. I do a lot of things. I mean, I help kids. I go out of my way to do things for people. I bring to light issues. And for the first time in a show, I kind of like what happened. Because as I'm running a show, I realized that some people didn't like what I was running because they felt it didn't deserve to be on my show. So two things came about that. Some of you felt it wasn't supposed to be something that I could deal with, that I'm too good for it. I like that. A lot of you thought this doesn't deserve any airtime. But believe it or not, if you watch Channel 2, if you watch the Buffalo News, they get airtime. The only difference is this. The airtime that they get, to me, for an issue like this, is a few seconds. You can stream it. You can see it for the 30 seconds they're allowed on TV. But you never fully understand what a person really means, even in print. Print doesn't convey a message in the feeling, in the voice. I mean, you could tell someone when they're speaking English to you what they're going at. So, you know, normally I was very excited about getting into USA Rugby. We're going to be the huge supporter of rugby in the area and around the country. We have a lot of good guests coming on for that. We're going to have some insiders on the Canelo Alvarez Cotto fight. Got some guys out in Vegas for that. We're going to talk about Amir Abdullah, kickboxing champ, who's going to have his title fight very soon. But then an issue happened about 2 weeks ago, that kind of brung up itself again recently. And you all know the Bennett protest. And I can recall the morning that I got up and I got a message saying, hey, what's going on with this protest? Where is it at? I said, what protest? And as soon as I heard that, I kind of knew what happened, but I didn't really know. So the parents in Buffalo do have a resource they can go to voice their complaints. Most parents don't have a resource. They talk amongst themselves. They can go to the coach. But they never have really anyone that can go out and put their concerns out in the public and also investigate them. And before he goes to the public, look at it very closely. And if he sees a discrepancy, he'll bring it up and give it to the public. And that's what happened. In that, I'm going to have Samuel Rafford on in about 30 seconds. He's a Buffalo president for the parent council, meaning parents can come to him with issues. He takes care of them. But the one thing I did find in the post, and I'm right in the middle, I'm not going to any side on this, but the post did bring to light some things. A lot of people say the timing is wrong for something like this. It looks like and sounds like sour grapes. Sounds like a sore loser. The parents sound like sore losers, and the rest didn't do anything wrong. A lot of people say, hey, Bennett got outcoached. A lot of people say, hey, look, it's over. Let it go. But I don't think Mr. Rafford is going to talk about the game. It's a bigger picture. But those on the other side, who I also know, who defend the way things are, think things are okay. And they don't see any issues. They just seen a football game lost. And I think there's a middle there somewhere where we could both see each other's side. Because when you're not getting the abuse, in any case, not just this, any case, when you're not getting the abuse, it's always hard for you to cross over, put yourself in the shoes of someone else that's been already going through it or perceived to be going through it. So when you guys heard Sam Rafford talk, you just seen him expressing anger on TV and what was written in the press. You didn't really get an understanding. Neither did I until I talked to him. He agreed to come on the show and voice his opinions only because we have such a large base and you, the fans, have a chance to listen. And if you have a question, you can ask. Call-in number is 646-915-9969. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm happy that you guys really care who I bring on the show. locally, nationally, people think it should be talked about. So I think here in Buffalo, we need to stop sweeping stuff under the rug, walking over it, letting it go for years, and letting it fester. And we're going to get into Section 6 and a bunch of other things here, but I'm going to bring on right now Sam Radford, who's a guy who pretty much just took what was given to him, looked at it, and had his own conclusions. And a lot of you guys, myself included, didn't know what he was talking about until we really got to talk to him and say, okay, I get it. But Mr. Sam Radford, thank you for coming on. And I'm just glad to have you on because, you know, on your clips on Channel 2 and the Buffalo News, you don't get the full picture, and I don't believe in taking a lot of what I read and hear on a time-constraint program like Channel 2 and all of them. You never get the full story. You get bits and pieces, and that's it. It doesn't leave you with much. So I'm glad you're on today to explain what your concern is and what the parents' concern is and help us understand how this even came about. Thanks for being on.
Hey, Trent, thank you. I appreciate you bringing me on the show. And, you know, as you said, you know, the opportunity to do more than a soundbite, I think is very important. So I appreciate the fact that you have a show, you have an audience that can give us a chance to put the whole parent side out there. So thanks for having me on tonight.
No problem. All right, well, you know, let's just get to it. Let's get right to the bottom of it. The Bennett game, I just got on the phone a few people before the show, and they're very interested in this because they're coming at it from the other side saying, you know, the coaches were out-coached. There are bad calls on both sides. And, you know, I know the parents don't agree with that, and I was at the game. If you guys were at the game, then I had people who called who are in favor of the parents saying, you know, maybe – the Buffalo representative should have stood up more at the time, and some are saying the timing's just wrong. How do you respond to those critics who are trying to pretty much just brush this away and say this is a non-issue?
Well, let me first of all just, you know, give a little bit of background so people understand that. And my responsibility as the president of the Buffalo Public Schools District Parent Coordinating Council, I deal with this kind of thing every day. So what I'm doing is not specific to sports. It's about the day-to-day experience of students and parents in the Buffalo Public School District. So when parents came to me last week concerned about the calls that took place at Bennett High School, we already had a process in place to look at that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a parent comes to make a case. In this case, Troy Fossett, he has sons that play on the team. He felt like the game was called unfairly. I said, well, okay, well, give it to me in writing, you know, tell me what you felt was unfair, and then we'll take a look at it, and we'll, you know, bring our people together, and we will see what we can do to help. So he gave us more. I went and looked at it. Then I had my son look at it. Then I had some other people who close to us, you know, related to football, look at it. And, you know, we agreed with what he said. You know what I'm saying? His conclusion was that, one, that in his opinion, the game was not called fairly. That it appeared to be that calls that was being made one way weren't being made the other way, meaning that the calls that were made against Bennett, those he didn't say that those were all bad calls. Some of those were bad calls, but some of them were good calls, but they didn't call those calls the other way. The second thing he raised with us is the fact that some of the calls, the timing of those calls, they were terrible calls, and the timing of them went to support, you know, giving an advantage to Maple Grove. One that stood out to me the most of all was when they called a defenseless player hitting a defensive player call. I mean, they show that play over and over on Time Warner Cable. If you go watch it, you can see it. Anybody who looks at that play and tell me that a receiver who catches the ball, both his hands on a ball, and he gets hit by two people after he touches the ball, how that person is defenseless, I don't know what you're supposed to do as a football player. I mean, I played high school football for Tech. I mean, I understand. Dude, I don't know what the ref expected him to do other than let him, you know, not hit him at all. So I thought that call was so egregious. And then I looked at it across the board, and I saw calls that could have went the other way with the other team spearing and all those kind of things that didn't get called. Then, you know, he said, take a deeper look in that. So when we look deeper, that a lot of these calls, almost all of them were on third down. They almost always put the Maple Grove in a situation to continue a drive. They almost all were called by one particular referee, you know. And so at the end of the day, this is what we concluded. We concluded that none of us are officials and none of us are experts. So we understand as parent leaders that we have the right to due process whenever we have a question about something or a concern about something. So we went to Section 6 rules and looked for the due process procedure. There was no due process procedure. Understanding how New York State education law works, we went to the state education commissioner's regulation, and we found out that the New York State, you know, Athletic Association, or PYHSAAA, they were governed by the commissioner of education, who in turn, they govern Section 6. So we filed an official complaint with the commissioner because she had jurisdiction. We also filed it with the State Athletic Association, and we filed it with Section 6. And we made three simple requests. The first request was based on what I just said to you. We simply said that in our, you know, subjective opinion, you know what I'm saying, it appears that game was called unfairly. We would like an objective analysis of the game to see if that game was called fairly. That in the proper context, you will know that in the University of Miami and Duke game, just recently we saw the same kind of thing where the refs determined the game ultimately because of not making calls. And the NCAA came back afterwards, reviewed the game, and suspended the ref because they agreed that they missed key calls. So we felt like a due process procedure in this case was warranted. So we filed that. While we were looking at the game, we realized that we were looking at a game that was primarily African-American football players playing against primarily white football players. And we said, well, where's the diversity in the referees here? You know what I'm saying? There's all white refs. I mean, there were no black refs. We didn't have some diversity in referees because we believe, I mean, that at least if this is the 21st century, you should have some degree of diversity. So we said, while we were looking at it, we think that the Section 6 should look at the need for having diversity among officials. Then finally, we said, when we were going to look for the due process procedure under Section 6 and under the New York State Athletic Association, we looked and we realized that almost all of their leadership is white. And we said, how in the 21st century do we have no diversity in the leadership of Section 6, no diversity in the State Athletic Association leadership? And we're simply saying we would like them to review to see if there's a justified reason for not having diversity. And because we understand, based on our experience with a civil rights case that we brought against the school district, that a lot of times not having diversity is not by chance. That is actually intentional, not having diversity. We asked the U.S. Department of Education, Office of Civil Rights, to come and look at Section 6 in the New York State Athletic Association and find out if they intentionally did something to prevent from having diversity. And you know, lo and behold, the minute we filed this and we got this media attention, all of a sudden people started coming to me. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a referee, a 15-year referee, that had been four refs, four officials since the 80s. He said they have a whole process for keeping people out. So people who suggest that this is not, you know, this is our imagination that we're making this up, all they got to do is talk to the people that's in the process and that have been victims of the process, and they will explain to you that they have been coming to us telling us that this has been going on for years and it needs to be looked at and addressed, and that's simply what our request is. We ask the people who have the responsibility to look at it and address it to look at it and address it.
Okay, and I completely get that, and you know, most people will come back and say, well, as far as the refs go, I could – you know, people are going to say, are African Americans applying? People are going to then say, what's probably been keeping this in the wraps? I'm not going to lie to you. And when I first came here, I've noticed things different from coming from Southern PA to here. And you know what? What you just said, things have been going on for a long time. I heard it before. You know, you just get used to seeing mostly white refs. I mean, you just get used to it. And no one talks about it. And people are scared to talk about it. But my question to you is, the South Park. People emailed me and said, hey, then what about South Park? Or what about Graham? And I got another response saying, you know what, they're going to take one team from the city and say, no, the refs aren't fair. You know, they're fair against the city. Look at South Park. But you're saying as a whole, it's not right, and this has been going on for some time, and people need to talk about it. And you feel that maybe it's time to get some more leadership in Section 6 that is more diversified, a younger group, a group that you know, just reflects what kind of players are on the field. Is that what you're kind of getting at right now?
That's exactly what I'm getting at. I'm simply saying that, you know, it appears, and I don't know, I don't have a history with Section 6, but it appears to be just like a good old boys crew. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's no diversity, you know, across the board. And it's not because of a lack of willingness, because systematically people have been coming up and talking to me about the things that happen that prevent people from being part of that process. They said that if I believe that it's a fair process for becoming a ref and it's because blacks are not applying, they said I got two heads. That is just not the case. You know what I'm saying? So they made it also clear that the chances of Section 6 diversifying, they said it's almost impossible for that to happen. I said, whoa. I don't know what Kool-Aid y'all been drinking, but this is the 21st century. Ain't nobody walking around here scared of nobody. I mean, we have the right to say if our children are playing and we proportionally, we represent, I mean, our children represent the majority in the city of Buffalo. You're saying, you're telling me we don't have the right to have our people from our community who are reflective of our children as part of the leadership of Section 6? I don't agree with that, and I don't think there's nothing to be scared of. I think we have every right to have a diverse Section 6 staff, administration, as well as the New York State Athletic Association. And we should be, and until we make a demand for it, they basically don't have no right to do it. I'm disappointed that the city of Buffalo leadership did not come forward and back the coach and the students and the parents. You know what I'm saying? The athletic director, to me, had a responsibility to back the parents, the coach, and the students. He should be there at the table fighting for our behalf. But clearly what it appears is that the influence of Section 6 is so strong that they got people scared and threatening people's jobs that people are not comfortable doing it. As a matter of fact, I was told, somebody told me in a high position within Buffalo Public Schools that they have to be careful about making complaints against Section 6 or the officials, because the officials are a fraternity. And once you get known for making complaints against them, it'll be hard to get calls across the board. And I'm saying, I don't think we should be intimidated, you know what I'm saying, in terms of fighting for our children. If our children feel like the game is called unfairly, we have a responsibility as they're the adults in the situation to challenge that.
Well, you know, I hear you. And I think this is my opinion on this. I think, you know, you have some people who are saying this is giving Buffalo a black eye. Your response, I take it, will be to them, you don't understand, you're only seeing one side of it. You have a lot of people saying this is a non-issue. You have a lot of coaches who are in Buffalo who are saying they want nothing to do with it. Are you saying Section 6 is that strong to where they could have pretty much a hold on anyone that goes against them, against running what they want to run and letting in the club who they want to let in? If that's the case, if what you're saying is true, there is a much bigger problem in this area that's been under the rug that needs to be talked about then.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's a much bigger problem in this area that needs to be talked about, because this issue is not just in coaching and officiating, because we have the same problem with the coaches. Buffalo Public Schools, you have to be a teacher, a certified teacher, to be a coach, which is absolutely ridiculous. You don't have to be a certified coach. You have to be a certified teacher. That's because, you know, of a lot of the stuff that continues to go on in the city of Buffalo that don't go on in other places. You know, you have the same thing with the teaching ranks. In the city of Buffalo, you have over 50% of the people who are African-American, over 70% of the students who are African-American, only 10% of the teachers are African-American, 9.4%. So there is a problem when you have this disproportional representation and people don't feel like a need, don't feel safe to talk about it, because even though you one of a small number of referees or a small number of coaches, you feel like if you say something, you won't even be in that small number. They're just to knock you out and go pick somebody else. You know what I'm saying? And so that fear and that intimidation is something that we got to overcome and simply say we want fair representation. We want a diverse Section 6. We want a diverse New York State Athletic Association. We want a diversity of our officiating, and we want things caught fairly. I mean, I just talked to a supervisor, Arby Lloyd's supervisor, and he made it clear that it wasn't just this game that was called unfair. He said there were some real questionable calls in the South Park game. I didn't watch that game, so I'm not going to comment on that. But he said, this didn't just start. He said this has been going on for years. And then when coaches do say something about it, they throw flags on them on the sideline, and that don't go both ways. So what I'm saying is that I don't know if all that's true, and I don't want to get into a debate with anybody on something that I don't know about. But what I do know is what I saw in that thing, and I knew those parents have a right to due process. We requested that due process, and our expectation is that we're going to get that due process. And if in the due process we find out it was fair, we'll accept that. You know what I'm saying? So we're not here fighting just for the sake of fighting. We just want to make sure it was fair. If the professionals say that it was fair, we'll accept that. If the professionals say that a fair process went through to develop the leadership of Section 6 in the New York State Athletic Association, and it was nothing that led to, there was nothing that was going on behind the scenes that prevented it from being a diverse group of people up there, then we'll accept that too. But until professionals come in and do that, we're going to see it differently, because we had the same issue with the Office of Civil Rights with criteria-based crews in Buffalo. They came in and did an investigation, and they found out what we were saying is true. And we believe if they investigate the State Athletic Association and Section 6, they're going to find out what we're saying is true. So we're asking the Office of Civil Rights to come in and review it and minorities from being part of those groups.
You know, this is powerful stuff. And you know, people who were against it, you know, I kind of figured this, would not call in because they're hearing you talk now. It's probably making a little sense to them, but I'm playing middleman here, but I got to say this. I mean, look, I've been dealing with, you know, these guys for some time, and, you know, are there roadblocks? Look, sure there is. I mean, I'll be a fool to sit here and say I'm sure things are a little bit harder than me than another sportscaster out there. You know, I kind of get that. But I help kids so much of all different colors to wear, you know, it's just tough to think that a bunch of old guys would put in these rules and then have a few refs out there who are so callous and so against the black players that to wear, or the teams who had the majority black players. You can hear the same thing about Kenmore West, that's pretty much Buffalo, but it's its own suburb, but the stars in the team are primarily black, and they get, what parents say, they get the same treatment when they play a Southtown team. It happens. But, you know, where does this go? Because Buffalo has not been in Section 6 too long, and I was pretty shocked when I came up here that both things were separated. You had the city, then you had Section 6, which I thought was nuts. I've never seen that in my life. But now it's together, and so people didn't want Buffalo in Section 6. Now Buffalo's in there, and here's changes coming to something that's probably been in place for so long, and the guys at the top are getting older. So do you think there is a real chance of maybe something bigger coming out of this? Look, what you're saying is very powerful. This isn't kid stuff here. This is pretty much saying that Section 6 and the good old boys club, let's be honest, that are mostly older white guys, and the refs that are mostly older white guys, what we're pretty much saying here is kind of what I'm hearing, is that there's an undertone of racism there. Not all the refs, but some of them who throw flags more weight towards the black kids than the white kids. Is that pretty much what the basis of this really is here?
What we're saying is that has clearly been brought up. Right now, okay, what we want is an objective analysis determining whether this specific game was called fair. But I can tell you, what you're saying to me, all you got to do is go look on my Facebook page. All you got to do is look at my emails. I mean, you will see parents have been saying, we so thankful you saying something. This has been going on for years, and nobody will ever say nothing. A mother walked up to me and said her child plays in Amherst. She's an African-American girl. She said she would go on the court and scream at refs because they would let them beat her down. It wouldn't even call the calls. She got kicked out of games because she had to defend her own child because the ref would not make the call. All I'm simply saying is this. If we see something is going on fair, we should say something. We shouldn't be scared to say something.
Right. Okay.
And
so
we
here's
be
my question.
To ask to do an analysis.
Right. Well, I have a caller coming in for you really quick. I'm going to bring him on in 10 seconds. Listen, what you're saying is I heard from whites, I heard from blacks, I heard from a lot of people, and there's times to where you see a ref and you think, why are you doing this? If that's the case, we're pretty much saying overhaul everything. Overhaul refs, make them more stringent to get in, really grade them harder on games, or have more diversity. If you're having you know, white and black players, you got to have white and black refs, not just one or two. But I'm going to take this call in real quick. Please state your name and where you're calling from, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, Trent, Dave DeLuca.
Dave, how you doing? Dave DeLuca, local sports writer here in Western New York. He covers a lot of high school stuff. And, Dave, what do you think about this subject? I will say this. The more I talk to Mr. Radford, I don't think it's sour grapes. A lot of things he's saying has merit to multicolors of parents who live in certain areas who see this, and most people who don't see it are mostly the primary, the teams that are living in the South Town, so they don't see it as much as they see it here. I'm starting to think that, you know, you have one side who say this is happening and another side saying it's not happening. What do you think is going on, and what kind of questions do you have for Mr. Radford?
Well, I mean, the main reason I kind of tuned in, I was really interested to hear what was going on the show tonight. And, you know, I was driving, so I wanted to just call in and hear the show a little bit. And, you know, I think that I've seen a lot of high school football over the years, you know, a lot of high school football. And I can tell you from my point of view that refereeing is consistently inconsistent. So you really can't put a number on, you know, how many calls are right, how many calls are wrong. There's so many calls throughout a football game that are up to judgment that are questionable. And I've covered black on black. I've covered white on white. I mean, it doesn't matter what the color of the skin, the way that I cover the game, it doesn't really matter, you know, what color skin they are. I see bad calls all the time. And I've never seen consistently one team get more calls than the other because of the race. I've never seen that. That's just my point of view. I've seen a lot of games, and that's my point of view. But, yeah, that's what I think about it.
As someone in the media, Mr. Radford brought up a point to where, you know, when you look at the diversity among refs and on the board, I kind of look at that, and Section 6 kind of leaves the door open for that kind of criticism when you look at there is no diversity with the refs or the board or representation of the kids on the team. That I do understand, and I did mention that before about a year ago. There's no diversity with, you know, football is a multi-race sport, and you don't have as many multi-race people reffing as much as one, and so I think Section 6 leaves that door open when these kind of things happen. If a ref does have it out for a guy and he's just calling on one team, you kind of say, like, okay, I'm not trying to think this way, but what else can I think? And, Mr. Radford, your response to what Dave LaDuca said.
Well, and I understand it may be consistently inconsistent, but if that's the case, let's talk about how we get up to a better quality of referee. You know, and so maybe it's consistently inconsistent because we're trying to get a certain group of people to be the refs. If we now say, let's bring in refs based on qualification, let's have some diversity among refs, and let's have a high standard for referees, maybe we should get to some consistency. I don't think it's all right to say, I've seen it be inconsistent, and we know we don't do anything about it. We have the capacity to do something about it, and maybe because of who the leadership is, maybe because we got the leadership that's been there way too long, and they don't understand the need to come into the 21st century and have another level of standard and expectation for the refs, that they wouldn't live with it being inconsistent. I don't want my sons playing in a sport where it's just all right that refs consistently make bad calls. I mean, or they consistently call games not fairly. You know what I'm saying? It's independent of whether it's race or not, generally, because of white privilege, white people don't have the same experience of people who are not white. So they're willing to be patient. They're willing to allow it to go on. Whereas when you're the victim of what's taking place, you're less inclined to be patient and wait for something to change. What you want is the issue of inconsistency to be addressed. You want the issue of why you don't have diversity within Section 6 in the New York State Athletic Association. You want those issues addressed. And we want them addressed with a sense of urgency. We don't want the people just to sit around and say, ah, oh, they just got sour grapes, or, oh, that's, you know, just the way it's been.
Well, one thing that I will say is I'm not sure the actual number, but I think there are five, African-American refs that do Section 6 football. And that's not because of the qualifications. That's because no one's signing up to do it. I'm sure Section 6 would love to have more refs out there. So if you want a ref, sign up. It seems like the demand for it is really high right now. So Section 6 can't, you know, do a half white and half black crew. They're putting their best guys out there when playoff time comes around. It doesn't matter if they're white or black. And when there's only five black referees, you're not just going to throw them out there just to make sure there's some diversity. You have to make sure these guys are qualified, make sure these guys have done it for a long time. And a lot of these guys, they're not full-time referees. I mean, there's guys that are working full-time jobs and then, you know, doing games at night or something like that. So this isn't something where these guys are going into career to referee high school football.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but that's not what I was told. I talked to people in the refereeing profession. Robert Grice, if you go to my Facebook page, you will see a 15-year referee, Robert Grice, said they have had four African-American refs since 1980s.
He said they're systematically keeping them out of those positions. Now, how they do it, I'm not in the refereeing officiating position. So, but I know what you're saying is not true. It's not as simple as you go and there's not enough of them. I talked to Jeff Richardson. He said he can identify 10 refs who will be willing to do it tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? He's the head of referees. So we went and checked and we talked with people who do this, and what they're saying is what you're saying is not true.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to that, but everything that I've heard from chairman, from people who are involved in this kind of thing, I don't think that these people are lying to me. But yes, refereeing, there is a demand for it. So I can't imagine anyone not getting allowed to referee because of their skin color.
Well here's my
you need to talk to. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me step in there real quick, guys. Look. Here's what I'm hearing this, and the reason, you know, I let the both sides talk, but I'm hearing this, and what I'm saying is this. I'm trying to bring you guys together here, but there's still a divide. Dave's hearing one thing, you're hearing one thing. You're hearing the victim side. He's hearing the guy's side who pretty much run it, who seem to be the problem to the side of your stick, the side you're representing, the victims. Listen, all I know is this. Parents are complaining for a reason. People are scared to really talk about it. I'm very interested. I can't say names. When I talked about this, I had white and blacks, some whites in the media, who said things do need to change in Section 6. They will not dare call into this show and talk about it. That's how scary it is. But at the same time, you know, Dave's saying, hey, just go sign up. You know, you would think it's that easy. And now this is the first I'm hearing, and Dave, you've been on my show 1,000 times. I believe you, but Section 6 saying they are looking for more blacks. At the first I heard of it, I talked to two Section 6 guys at the Lancaster-Ken West game. They were decent guys, but a few questions I asked them, they couldn't really answer. And I think they've never been challenged. I think they've never been challenged to try to mix things up. Look, you just can't mix it up just to mix it up. They got to be qualified. But at the same time, you have a lot of mad parents. They're not waking up mad for a reason. Something is going on here, and I'm just listening to both sides, and both of you guys are having good points, but he shouldn't be on this show right now if there was an issue, though. Sam wouldn't be Sam would be doing something else. The parents wouldn't have came to him. We're trying to find out what's going on, and I believe both sides, I'm sure not all Section 6 is bad, but there's guys at the top somewhere who's maybe doing something, because if it's so open and they want so many blacks, there's not a lot of black refs still. And so something's wrong somewhere, and I'm going to let you pick up, Sam, on what Dave said, but my point is something's wrong somewhere or we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And the problem is that not only is something wrong, if people are fearful about saying what's wrong. I mean, that's really part of the problem, too. I mean, that, you know, you got a coach who clearly felt like the game was called unfairly. He said it during the game. He got a flag during the game for saying it. He said it after the game, was the first officiated game. Then he was forced to write a letter of apology to went to the Section 6 meeting this morning saying he was sorry or his job was on the line. So the fact that these people intimidate people saying that you will not have a job, you will not be able to coach unless you carry the company line, is almost like a racket. I mean, at the end of the day, it should be some diversity. At the end of the day, people should not be afraid to ask for due process.
But Dave does have a point saying, well, see, Dave has a point in what he's saying too, but my thing is, are blacks being intimidated, Dave? Do you think, you know, they are probably looking for black refs, but why don't you think the blacks are signing up? Do they have already an image or a defeatist attitude saying, you know what, I'm not going to go here just to be, you know, just to be a figurehead? You know, I want some power in what I do, and if I'm going to ref, I'm going to call it right. I'm not going to just play into the game that's been played for years. What do you think is going on, Dave?
I'm not sure if I misspoke or you guys misunderstood what I said. I never said that they are looking primarily for black referees right now. All I said was they are looking for refs, and I don't care what the skin color is. And I don't really have too much more to say because, I mean, I really came on just kind of listened to the show. But I look at it this way. It comes down to the game as much as we want to talk about officials and things like that. This is arising because a team lost a football game that they were supposed to win. Let me just finish this point, and I'm really going to hang up. My point of view is this officials thing shouldn't even matter right now. I mean, the officials were a problem last year when Bennett lost, and that was Cheektowaga, and that wasn't, you know, an all-white team. And the officials were blamed last year when Bennett lost. And if I'm a coach of a high school football team, I don't go on the news and call out the officials. I mean, I think that how that was handled is why we're at this point. I mean, a lot of things stemmed from situations that happened on that day. And I think it's really, you know, 2 weeks later and we're still talking about it. I wish that game, we would not be talking about it right now because Maple Grove won the football game. Maple Grove deserved to win that football game just as much as Bennett deserved to win that football game. And, you know, that's what I have to say about that. But, you know, good luck on the rest of the show, guys. And it's good hearing from you. And you have some great points. And I hope the situation is solved in the end.
All right, Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Gotcha.
And, you know, Sammy, that's a great point. I mean, Bennett last year, there was an issue with Cheektowaga. And now this year. So you have a lot of people. I'm getting emails flooding in saying, is Bennett going to cry every time they lose a big game? And I'm asked, you know, to ask you this from a guy named Ted here, and he's from the Cheektowaga area. He wants to ask, like, what is the real purpose of what you're doing right now? Because last year it was the refs, and just like what Dave said, this year it was the refs. What do you want to accomplish here? And I think you kind of said what you want to see done, but, you know, a lot of people are saying the timing. I mean, I'm just telling you what's being said. The timing is wrong, and it's right behind the loss of a game he should have won. Some are saying Steve was out coached. Some are saying, you know, Bennett, you know, was supposed to win that game. They're the favorite and lost. Just get over it. I mean, it's not really about the Bennett game, is it?
For me, I mean, I can appreciate why people would say that because they're interested in who won and lost the game. I'm not involved as a parent leader, the president of the district parent council, because of who lost the game. I can make the same exact complaint if Bennett won the game. You know what I'm saying? So take me out of the conversation about who won or lost the game or who won or lost last year. What I'm in the conversation is for is because parents feel like the game was called unfairly. Your last caller just said that the games are consistently called inconsistent. So what we're simply saying is that we want competent professionals to look and see if there was an extreme case of that in this particular case. That's all we're asking for. And then while you're in the process of that, we also observed that there was a lack of diversity. Originally, when it was brought to us, the coach or the parent didn't bring to us about the lack of diversity. The lack of diversity, because as the parent leadership, we know we just want a civil rights case based on the lack of diversity within the district. We saw that with our own eyes. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Why is it all white refs? Then when we went and did the research about due process, we saw all the leadership for Section 6 and the New York State Athletic is all white. We said, wait a minute. Why is no, if our children are playing, why do we not have representation in the leadership structure? That's just, even if it's just proportional representation, you should have some representation in the leadership structure. So we brought these issues up, and it has nothing to do with who won or lost the football game.
Okay. Well, you know, Samuel, I think you had a great point, and I think this isn't going away. As much as a lot of us think, you know, it's, you know, the game's over, let it go, I think now we're beyond the actual football game on the field, and it's going to something else deeper, you know, the organization that runs the football games on the field. And I think what you're going to see now is, what are you going to do next? You've been on the media, you've been here, you have a huge audience right now listening to this. You have some people who, I don't know who's listening. It could be some guys from Section 6. I mean, if someone from Section 6 was listening right now and called in and talked to you, what actually would you say to them? Because this probably won't go away. Because if you went this far already, you figure, take the next step, you might as well, because you're already past line one. And line one was really putting it out there, presenting a challenge to the status quo. So now the challenge is put out there. My question to you is, where do you go from here? Because you can't back away, because now the parents are going to want you to go further with this. You seem like you have the numbers. You seem like you have the right information. You seem like you have people who do want to stay anonymous. So where do you go? I mean, what do we do? Do we try to change the culture for the kids, or do we just sit back, say, okay, we talked about it for a week, let it be done?
Let me say three things. One, if a person from Section 6 called me, the first thing I would say is that the statement they made this morning at that meeting, that they don't have to respond to the concerns of parents. They only have to respond to the concerns of their member organization. So they were just going to ignore our complaint, to me, is a statement of leadership. And just so they know, we heard that. We followed up. We took it to the Board of Education tonight. We know due process. We asked the Board of Education on our behalf to come to you with the complaint. But for the outright disrespect they have for the concerns of parents, to me, is a problem. You know what I'm saying? As a parent, if I'm concerned, I'm a taxpayer. We part of what allows there to be a Section 6. That member
another thing coming. So those people at Section 6 need to really look at the process that they're using to be responsive to people in the community. So that's the first thing I would say if it was somebody from Section 6 listening. The second thing is, this ain't our first time to the rodeo, Trenton. You know what I'm saying? We understand how this process goes. You know what I'm saying? So when we filed the official complaint, you didn't hear us go out to the Section 6 or the Board of Education screaming, hollering like we didn't know what we were doing. We drew up legal papers. You know what I'm saying? We filed an official complaint. Once they respond to us, we can file a 310 appeal, you know what I'm saying, that goes directly to the commissioner for an immediate decision, you know what I'm saying? Then, after that, we're going to go to the commissioner. I sit on the governor's task force, you know what I'm saying, chancellor every single day, at least once a week over the last 6 weeks. So we will go to the state education department and make it clear. We got some concerns about what's going on with Section 6, and it's not going to go away. You know what I'm saying? So we will go through the legal process that we've been through. We're going to start the process of asking parents, students, coaches, other people who have specific examples or concerns. We're going to ask them to start bringing those forward. Until Section 6 responds, we are going to continue to bring these issues forward till we see a change of the officials, which we were told tonight that they agreed that there needs to be a change in officials, and they're going to look at a process to bring in more officials. So when we see that change, we'll back off. We want to see a change in the leadership of Section 6. We want to see some diversity in the leadership of Section 6. Until we see that change and see that diversity, we're going to continue to raise these issues.
Okay. So pretty much what you're saying is this, from what I read, is everything that's happened now has been under the leadership of Section 6 that are currently in place. So if there's going to be real change, you always got to go to the top and get that form of bad ideas and culture out and fill it in with new, up-to-date, updated culture and updated way of thinking. That's pretty much what's going to happen. That's pretty much what you're going to push. Some are saying right now you're trying to force leadership. Is that a bad thing? My opinion, it all depends what the situation is. If these things that you're saying are true and more comes out later, it's a definite. And for anyone to go against that would be part of the problem if more comes out about them making it tough for minorities to come in, or just more stuff that kind of points the finger and say, this is a bad organization that was run like a mob, like a racket, you know, let's just say, and then I get it. But I think right now you cross the line as far as trying to make this happen, can't back down now, and I think what Section 6 did, I did see the response. I don't think that was the right response. I mean, I would say that even if you weren't on the show. That response did nothing but throw gas on the fire because it showed almost a disdain and an unconcerned of the parents in the city of Buffalo, which I thought if they could do it over again, they might have responded a little bit different, but it's too late. And that kind of shows, that response to me kind of justifies what the parents are trying to say. Inadvertently, I hope they didn't mean to say it the way they did, but it came off pretty arrogant, like, you know what, whatever, we don't care what you say, we don't get an answer to you, then who do you answer to? And I think, you know, they allow guys like you to come in that door and challenge them on that. You're inside now. And so I got a lot of people who are still not understanding what the good fight is. Hopefully from this show, more people will understand what you're fighting for. And ultimately, it's about the kids. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the kids. You know, I do the scouting. I help kids get to school. James Mallory helps kids get to school. There's only a small group of us that stand up and put our necks on the line for the kids. But this fight you're taking goes a little bit deeper than the football players. This goes to a culture that's been around for a long time. And now there's probably no better man than you to actually go in and fight this. But it's going to be a fight. And I hope for everyone's sake that Section 6 doesn't have any skeletons in the closet that will be exposed when the right people start digging. And when you start digging, you find stuff. And when you find stuff, you start finding stuff, and then you try to put a timeline to it. If there's anything nasty in Section 6 closet, that's what I hope there's not. But if there is, all credit to you for bringing this up. But people must understand, you didn't wake up one day and just say, you know what, I'm going after Section 6. Parents came to you, and then you looked at it first before you even spoke. And that's one thing I want people to understand. And I'm not taking any side here, but you got to give Mr. Radford credit. When the parents came to him, he looked at it first. He didn't just come out and ramble off the media. He looked, had people look at it, and then came out. So he came prepared. And I think even though he came prepared, I think Sexton Six's response to this whole thing, forget the game. I'm beyond the game. I'm looking at other things now. But their response was completely, I think, inconsiderate. It was almost like, we're better than you, just we don't want to hear it. And that's just my opinion on that, and I think Section 6 might come out again tomorrow or the next day or in some media piece and may kind of ease that out, because that's how it made it seem, and that did nothing but inflame people and made people who already feel like they're being stepped on, made them feel a little bit smaller. And when you do that to people, when you keep stepping on them, they come back. So, Mr. Radford, one last thing, you know, final thoughts on this?
The word I would use is disrespectful. It was just outright disrespectful. I mean, they could have did that in a courteous way, but to build them, it to me is an indication of a culture and a mindset where you think you can just be outright disrespectful with people. And what do you think we're going to do, just roll over? When we say the district parent coordinating council, it's not just me. It's a whole team of us, and they need to go check our record, because we didn't just start this thing. We've been doing this for 10 years, and we've been pretty consistent, and the stuff that we fight, we pretty much can win on the things we fight. We don't take issues up lightly. We don't take them up irresponsibly. We get legal support, and we file them in the right place. You know what I'm saying? So, and we've learned to do that over time. So we're just standing unified as parents. In the end, we want to be a partner with Section 6. We want to be a partner with the New York State Athletic Association. We want to be a partner in having what's best for all children. We don't want just a group of privileged children to get their needs met and have their coaches and have their friends and their family in the leadership. We want something fair for all students, all athletes. Why can't we live in a fair system? And if somebody is being victimized and you're not being victimized, you should at least have the courage to listen to them. Find out what's happening to them. Don't tell them because it's not happening to you. It's not happening to them. It's possible for both of y'all to be right. It's possible that it's not happening to you, but it is happening to them. And if it is happening to them, investigate it. You investigate it and you find out it is happening to them, change it and make it fair and an even playing field for everybody. I think sports will be more enjoyable, our children's experience will be better, and you will have less complaints, less fear, less animosity. You will have a much more enjoyable sports experience if we were fair to everybody.
Mr. Radford, great stuff, and I know we'll like to have you back on again as things develop from this. I think this is going to do nothing but grow. A lot of people wanted to go away, and you know, like I said, I'm the mediator here, and I'm just seeing what I'm saying, and I see your point. And I see, you know, Dave came on, and Dave's pretty close, and Dave's here on the other side, and he's seeing things from his view. And I think that's going to be the biggest problem you're going to face, that everyone sees things different, you know. And the one thing I will say is, you know, I've talked to Slade a lot of times. We had disagreements, but, you know, we talked, and what you're saying and what I heard from other people, I've known him especially, the way he's spoken to me and the things we talked about, we butt heads a few times. And, probably is a nice guy, but, you know, that's a tough nut to crack with Section 6, but that's, you know, that's something that we're going to see, and you're right. It's about the kid. It's not about us, but I'm just bringing your story and the parents' story to light so people get a better understanding. Hopefully a few weeks from now we can bring it back on, and hopefully things will start changing for those people who think things are wrong. But, Mr. Radford, thanks for coming on. Any final thoughts before we let you go, sir?
No, I just want to really, really thank you for giving me the opportunity, you know, to air this all the way out. Because obviously in the newspaper, in the radio, in television interviews, we've only been able to give snapshots. We haven't been able to talk about the fullness of what we're talking about. So I think it's important to have shows like yours where an issue can be talked about. And hopefully maybe if Section 6 want to, you know, talk about this in a way, if they got another side to it, we want them to listen to the other side. Well, we want to listen to the other side where we can have a full discussion. We don't want to be disrespected and say, well, because you ain't our member, we don't have to respect you or we don't have to listen to you. You know what I'm saying? We're fans too. You know, we have a right to be listened to. We're part of the reason why there is a Section 6. You know what I'm saying? So we thank you for the work that you do, the work that you do on behalf of kids, the work that you do as an objective arbitrator in the media. We appreciate that, and we wish you the best in terms of the radio show.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Mr. Radford. Look, we're going to be fine. You know, I'll let everyone talk. You know, there's always one side to a story. Mostly in Buffalo, there's only one side. When there's really two, and I bring the other side out, I may take heat for it, but I'll survive. It's okay. But great to have you on. Hopefully you got this point across. We're going to be following this very closely, and I'm going to reach out to Section 6 and see if they can come on and possibly answer some of these questions. They probably won't, But I'll badger him and see what I can get, and hopefully get some of these people to step up who agree with you and have seen some of these things, and see if they'll come on and talk about it. But, you know, Mr. Bradford, great to have you on, and hopefully we'll stay in touch with this issue, and hopefully things could change.
Let me say this. In the spirit of competition, you know what I'm saying, I'm calling Section 6 out. If they're doing something fair, I would love for them to come on this radio show. I'll come on, and we can have this conversation straight up so the whole community can hear it. If they don't got nothing to hide, tell them to come forward on this radio show, because I believe they got something to hide. I believe they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And if they're not afraid, tell them to come on the radio show. Well, let's talk about it.
Not a problem. You know what? Platforms here, open challenge to Section 6. Hey, let's get it out. You know, if you're not hiding something, like you said, bring it out. You're bringing out your opinions of the parents and yourself, and then the investigation that, you know, you're doing and what you found so far. Hey, let's do it. Sam Bradford, good to have you on. Keep up the good work in the community. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Not a problem. You know, this is why I do the show, and mostly a lot of people say, you know, Trent, you know, we love your show. You say what you want to say. You tell it like it is. But you say that when I'm saying things that you want me to say and the things you want me to be straight about. And when it comes to issues like this, for some reason, I get a little pushback from my fans, not me personally saying, hey, don't give this guy your time of day, or don't give this situation your time of day. Let me tell you something. I'm a sports guy. I'm in the public. A lot of you guys see a sport, see a kid, that's it. I brung up coaches who don't help their kids after high school. I brung up coaches who shouldn't be coaching. I brung up coaches who do a terrible job of what they do with kids, girls and boys, and only use the coaching tool as more money or as a just ego thing. I know coaches who, after football or basketball, forget the kid. A kid that maybe has a chance to go to college, he forgets him till next season. Once he graduates, he's done. And any scout knows the process starts as a sophomore, junior, and senior. I know coaches say, screw it, they're done. They move on to the next kid. But I will say this. Since coming to Buffalo, and if Kenmore West people are listening, I know you are, you can relate to some of this. It's so deep, and I'm telling you what people said to me. And you got to understand, I've been saying this for years, and I have a lot of white friends. My kids are multiracial, so don't take this the wrong way. I say this all the time. I have some of my closest friends who are white who said to me, Trent, when people would say it's racist, I would say, no, it's not. But since knowing you, since hanging with you, since going in public with you, I see what you're talking about now. And it's easy for someone to say, oh, there's nothing out there. When you're a white guy, you have nothing to worry about. When you cross the street, you don't hear the doors locking. When you go in the store, you don't see people looking at you. When you're driving down the street, you don't have a concern. I have those concerns at times. I wear my hat backwards all the time. It's a habit now when I get out of Kenmore and, let's say, go through Amherst, which I have friends. I know a few cops there. Or I go to other areas, Williamsville, I take my hat off. That's just a reaction because I've been conditioned with certain things that most whites won't understand. They may think I'm nuts. But how can you say I'm nuts when you don't go through what I go through? So when I look at these parents in Buffalo who are complaining about something, I'm not even taking their side, but they're complaining about something. What is wrong with me reaching out and saying, you know what, let me give you a platform, because you're not going to really get one. Because a lot of people will push this under the rug and say you're just complaining. And the timing is wrong on this. The timing's awful. The way this came out in the game is awful timing, but let's forget about the football game. I think Mr. Bradford has had a very good point. Here's a man that's talked to President Obama. I think a lot of you guys know him. Look him up. Very prominent guy. Very powerful guy in Buffalo. Very honored to have him on my show. But I just want whites and blacks to quit the crap, man. Come on. Quit the crap. Look, let me tell you something. Here's another thing I know because I'm in it. How come no one talks about the kids in Buffalo than the kids in the South towns? And here's what I mean. More kids go to college play football in Buffalo, in the North towns, that aren't even talked about, that no one knows about, than the South towns. The numbers don't lie. there's a lot more kids. Just because Dick Gallagher don't post it on his post doesn't mean it's not happening. I had to put it, I had to call him and say, hey, my son's in college playing. What's going on? Sure, it was a misstep, but more people pay more attention to South Channels. I get it. It's not right, but I get it. A lot of work's done. Look, I'm in the front lines, guys. I'm just not taking pictures. I'm just not writing blogs. I read a bunch of blogs. I read a bunch of them, and I laugh. I'm thinking, you guys have like the first clue what's going on out here. There's a lot more kids in Buffalo that are on the same level as some of the kids of the states that you praise and say these kids will never reach that level. And it's a shame that some of these reporters here tear the kids down from Western New York. I do nothing but try to build these kids up, but I have people who I read things. Sometimes it's just people in general. I read things. And the Western New York reporters, to me, do more to tear people down, the kids down, from reaching their goals than helping them. And it's true. It's very true. And I tell you, I think that was a good discussion. Did I want to do it? Yes and no. I was a little bit concerned that it would get ugly, and thank God it clicked in me. A light bulb came on that a lot of these guys who are talking won't call in. And I figured they wouldn't, because when he started talking, you kind of see his concerns. And then you see Dave Lucas' concerns. And Dave's a good kid. Dave's on my show a lot of times. Talk to him a lot. He sees a lot of football. And he said his point. Dave said, look, it's consistently inconsistent. I don't think it's a black or white thing. Mr. Radford said, no. Well, just because it's inconsistent doesn't mean it's right. And it is a black-white thing. So you have two differences of opinions there. And this ain't going away. I think Section 6 did a very bad thing the way they responded to this. Honestly, they did. And I will say this. Tim Slade hasn't been a bad guy to me personally, but he's not the nicest guy, and he's very arrogant. And I'll say that because I spoke to him. And maybe there's people right now saying, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. Look, he's a Section 6. He's the head of the guy. He's not God. He's not he's not a guy you can't criticize. He's not a guy that's going to split the ocean and walk barefooted and not have his bottom of his feet wet. Give me a break. He's a guy. He's an old guy that's been running a very big Section 6. So when a person's in a position, I don't down them because you had to work hard to get there. He's the guy. But when you're the guy and things happen, you're also the guy that's going to get criticized when things do happen. And I will say this. When you have a new pair of shoes, you wear them, you love them. They get you through times of tribulation, the rainy days, snowy days, whatever. Eventually, they get worn down and old. The more you put them on, they wear down more. Next thing you know, they're so worn down, they're starting to affect how you walk and your feet start hurting. Time to get a new pair. Just like human beings in positions. I don't think it's great to have a person at the same job or at the top for 30 years. I think not. Because 30 years you're getting older, and as you're getting older, each year that goes by, there's a different culture coming up behind you. That is the future, and you're beyond your past, but you're still holding on to the first day you got the job. And you're not going to change from that. So what happens is you have a clash of cultures. I don't believe a guy should be in a place 30 years. And I think if he is, he better have some younger people from the generation he's overlooking that can help him stay with the times. And I think Section 6 didn't allow that. That's what I will say about Section 6. I think the game has passed them by. And this is just, forget Samuel Radford. This is just me and my interaction with him. Section 6 has passed you by. Keeping things kind of split up ain't cool. South Park's doing a great job. South Park's doing a great job. And South Park, to me, I said this on my show a few days ago, they may win the state title. To me, probably the best football team in the area. And I think Orchard Park wasn't one of the best teams. I think Kenmore West gave them a trip to get hammered in Aquinas, but five interceptions, so-and-so, whatever they go, they weren't the best. I would not have a problem with South Park being number two over. You know, Orchard Park, maybe over Canisius. Some could say over Canisius. Look, took a 61-yard field goal to beat him. Buffalo should be very proud of that team and very proud of Burgard or what they did. And to Buffalo parents, listen, over time, Buffalo will be the prominent power. Over time, they will be. The numbers say so. The kind of kid you have there say so. Everywhere else you look, that's how it turns out to be. You just don't have the resources. Your kid's got to get better grades. The kid's got to buckle down and help themselves. And as you know my show, I'll hammer Buffalo quicker than anything. Because I don't believe in giving you anything for free. I believe you got to work for it. I work for it. You think I got this show for free? Nobody. You talk about being locked out. Nobody wanted to let me in. I'm the only African-American guy doing sports in this whole area. You want to see a problem? Has anyone called me? No. No. And I said, okay, fine. I was doing shows when I had one listener. I was doing shows when nobody was listening, just recording my podcast, putting it out there. Got on the road, built my base, here I am. Getting Hall of Famers on my show. Got to reach all the way to California, to Canada. Have guys call me from other countries. Just locked up a good chance to be the exclusive guy of rugby. I did that on my own. Nothing was handed to me. So I don't agree with handing no one anything. Work for it. And for Buffalo kids, James Mallory does a great job with you guys. And you better be glad he's there. Because me personally, I help what I can, but James exclusively is Buffalo. And you got to help him out. Parents, listen, if he's going to D.C., go with him. Don't sit behind and don't go. If you can't go, tell him. At practices, show up. Because guess what? We have no problems like that with the suburban teams. You want to talk about a difference? I'm going to put it to you straight. Show up for the practices. Show up for these freaking kids. The suburban moms and dads are there. The city people aren't. You have better things to do. Let me tell you something. Most of you cannot afford to put your kid in college. You better be at practice because getting that exposure is huge for your kid. And that's one less bill. That wasn't one less bill. Your kid could be better than you were. We always want our kids to be better than us. Better than what we were. If you don't think that for your kid, what's the use? So as hard as I work in sports, as hard as I work on this show, to give you an honest show, not this politically correct crap that we're hearing from GR and from other stations, with out-of-touch reporters, I'm talking about everyone in Buffalo, out of touch. Out of touch. Kiss 98.5 trying to do sports, just a filler to make more money. They don't know the first thing about kids. They're not helping kids get nowhere when it comes to the sports. WGR, worked there for a month. Okay, Sabres and Bills, stay out of high school. Because what you're saying is really nothing. Because you're not getting in the front lines actually helping these kids. All you want to do is talk about who's doing what, and most of the kids ain't from this way. Now let's get something straight. I'm calling you out myself. Say, do more or get out. I got a lot of baggers too. They're not going to tell you that. Do more or get out, because what you're doing right now is just hanging the coattails of these kids who are making this area a pretty good recruiting spot. It's going to happen. For all you naysayers, James and I have made huge connections. I got players in Western Europe right now who just sent me film today to get it out. Yeah. But I don't get the attention. James don't get the attention. And this is the thing I'm talking about, guys. I'm not even from this area. And I feel more for these kids, I feel, than people who are raised here. Nothing makes me feel better than meeting a kid and his parents in his house and then helping the kid. Seeing it in his eyes like he listens to me. He wants my help. Nothing better than that. And as you know, guys, I'll stick up for any kid. I'll fight hard for kids. I do it all the time. All the time. And all I want us to do is this in Western New York. Look, stop the race stuff. Look, sports are multiracial. If you're a football player, you're going to be playing with black guys, Chinese guys, white guys, whatever. If you're basketball, you're going to be playing with mixed guys. This ain't the 1930s. This is a multiracial country. those old thoughts and sayings and things that we shouldn't even be talking about. We shouldn't even be talking about this. And look, I don't know what Section 6 is doing, but if they're doing something bad and they get caught, no one should stick up for them or have their back. And if you do, you're in their back pocket. I'm just saying if they find something, we may not find anything. But if something was going on for years and it's uncovered, my gosh, you got to look at them and say, guys, what's going on with you? This is a kids thing. Kids run this. Kids keep you guys in business. The taxpayers keep you guys in business. What's going on? Wow, what a show I didn't want to do. Emails coming in. Yeah, you know, I was going to talk about rugby again. We got that coming up this week. Oh, we got NBA coming up. We got so much other stuff coming up. And, you know, didn't take any more calls. I do appreciate the listeners, but my goodness, I mean, when you talk about something like this that's really in the forefront, you get drained. And I'm drained right now because just trying to sort out what everyone's saying and what Samuel Roberts saying and, you know, what I've been hearing on the outside and my phone's going off with messages and I'm trying to answer people back and it's so tiring. It's a tiring subject. And I just gave him a platform. I didn't take any sides. I threw my opinion out there. People who didn't call in and talk to him, that's your choice. You know, you didn't want to talk to him. You heard what he said, and, you know, he gave you something to think about. And also, he has something to think about with what Dave said. You know, and send your opinions on our Trenton White Sports page on Facebook. I was going to get into a little more sports today, but, you know, we've been an hour on this, and I'm going to let this go. And, you know, we're going to put the podcast on the page and pass it around. But I tell you, this is part of the reason why I'm very selective. I'm very selective with sponsorship. I'm very selective with who I want to deal with because I don't want to deal with companies who want to hide stuff like this. It's not who I am. And you're not going to control me because, see, I don't need companies. That's another thing. I don't need the big sponsors. I never have. And that's one thing that I'm very proud of. Like Donald Trump says he doesn't have the super PACs pays money. I don't need big sponsors. And I don't need it because this is my show and my show's for the fans. You can come on here and talk about anything. This show is based for the fans. It's like talking to your friends in your own house. It's like talking to your friends when you're in the car driving somewhere. Sports talk the way it was meant to be talked happens on this show. Live, raw issues, not sugar-coated, not hidden, not fearful of being said what should be said. This is what we are. And if you don't like us, that's your choice. Don't listen. But the majority of my fans are sick of the political correctness in sports. And they just don't want to hear it no more. And we do a great job. And I appreciate all you listeners. I'm going to get out of here. I got to set up this show for this week. Look, we got big-time rugby coming in here. We got some nice guests coming in. Looking to get Mario Elie back on, NBA Hall of Famer, that played with Tim Duncan and the Spurs. Going to have him on. We got Amir Abdullah from Lockport. You guys better follow this guy. Kickboxing champ, fighting for the world heavyweight the world light heavyweight championship. And in 3 days. Local guy fighting for the kickboxing championship, and we got to get there and support this guy. Amir Abdullah will be on the show. We're going to talk to a lot more people. We're going to talk to some people, you know, top high school talent. We got basketball coming up. We got a lot. The kids are going to start doing NBA. A lot of stuff going on right now, guys. We are very happy that we're in a good position right now to give you guys some good sports talk. But I'll talk to you guys later. Follow us on Twitter. I just got it going. I didn't like it, but I'm starting to like it now. It's at TW Media 44. You can go to the Facebook page, Trenton White Sports. Like us on Facebook. Please add your comments. Comments are all welcome. We're not going to fix anything if we don't talk about it. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, and please respond to what you heard. If you do like the show, pass along to a friend. Issues were said. Some issues need to be talked about, and we got to think about what's going on. Take care, guys. Have a good night.